By the way, speaking, I want to bring up this story here, too, and it's not on your site. There has been, I guess, a motion filed with the bar against the Tulsa County DA's office that they have had people in court on multiple occasions, at least five that I counted in the paperwork here, who have represented themselves as attorneys when in fact they're not. They're either paralegals or they failed the bar or they haven't taken the bar, but they're in court representing themselves as attorneys or the DA's office is, and they're making plea deals, plea agreements, kind of stuff like that. That's a big, big no-no.
Yeah, but I think that's up to a judge to handle what he allows in his courtroom.
Well, but this has gone to the bar. An official official complaint's been filed, and it's the name. I don't have the paperwork in front of me right now, but it's not being put at Steve's feet. It's somebody else in his office.
Okay.
But the buck should stop at the top with Steve. Steve should know who's going in to represent him. Because if I'm not mistaken, I think his office has about 43 attorneys, and I think the public defender's office also has 43 attorneys. So he's usually... He's a guy who should be aware of what's going on, you know, as opposed to like maybe Stanley Glantz in years gone by who was delegating authority to people and really didn't know what was going on.
Okay? Well, wait a minute. Are you saying these are people representing the prosecutor's office?
No, no. These are people from the DA's office that are in court, but they're portraying themselves as attorneys and they're not.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a problem. That's kind of the Cousin Vinny scenario, isn't it?
Yeah. You know? I'll give you the paperwork. I just became aware of this on Friday, okay? And I haven't seen it covered anywhere. They're nowhere in the Tulsa world. Nobody else has picked it up. So I didn't know if you knew anything about it or heard anything.
No, I didn't. Although, you know, some of the language of statutory language says, you know, you have a right to counsel, for instance. Now, what's allowed in a courtroom is a little bit different from that. Mm. So it's some of the word is more broad than just lawyer or bar certified lawyer.
But when if I have a right to counsel and I can't afford one, that's where the public defender's office comes in and points one to be. We're not talking about the public defender's office. We're talking about DA's office.
Right.
Putting people, and again, five separate occasions, somebody in there representing the DA's office who really isn't qualified to be doing that.
Oh, yeah, they shouldn't. That shouldn't be happening at all on the prosecution side.
Right.
It would make sense if this was more on the defense counsel side.
Right. So a little side note, too. Do you think that DAs should be elected or do you think that they should be appointed? Like the public defender's appointed, right? I believe by a judge. Would it make more sense? Would it depoliticize the DA's office statewide? And I'm not just talking here in Tulsa. If they were appointed, or is it better for them to be elected? And the problem with appointing is as you've learned through listening to my program, especially the Holtzclaw case, the legal community here in Oklahoma is incestuous. It's like everybody is either related to everybody or knows everybody or has got skin in the game. And it's difficult to get really, I guess, independent representation that isn't somehow compromised with somebody else.
Yeah. Well, my biggest issue is there should be term limits. I mean, David Prater's got to go.
How long has he been there?
Oh, I don't know. But last time he ran, nobody ran against him. I think they're scared to death of him.
They thought he was going to run for AG. Yeah. But then he didn't do that.
It just, you know, I think over time... Imagine, Pat, if your job was dealing with the worst of humanity for years and years, how do you not get a tainted view of humanity?
Yeah.
And how does it not prejudice you over time? Yeah. And I've seen this happen. It's not racism, but I think the poor have been harmed more because it just fits this narrative of it. And sometimes they're enforcing the law on the poor side of town that they don't on the more well-to-do side of the town. So I would just assume we see a term limits and see if that takes care of some of this.
Why is it that there are term limits for some offices but not for others? In fact, when I had Michael Bates on, we were talking about the school board. I think there's one lady that's been there for like 24 years or something. That's a ridiculous amount of time. It should be, I don't know, 4, 6, maybe 8 years tops, right?
Yeah. And I don't know if the legislature can address this. You know, we had to pass a constitutional amendment. Randy Brogdon, I believe, was one of the chief people for that, for all of our statewide officials.
Right.
But they left out DAs and the Corporation Commission.
Yeah.
I mean, you've had Bob Anthony there for over 30 years. Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah, it's a long, long time. So, again, talking with David Vann from Sooner Politics here. It's 9:13. You're listening to the Pat